Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live, everybody. Thanks for joining us today, wherever you're listening from. Thanks for making us a part of your day. My name is Zach Matchett, filling in for Steve Arterburn, the aforementioned Steve Arterburn. I'm joined today, as usual, the last few times I've been on, by Dr. Alice Benton. Hi, Alice.
Lucky me. Yes. Hello. Hi, everybody.
Oh, too kind. Yeah. And Becky Brown. How are you, Becky?
I'm doing well, Zach. How are you? Hey, Alice.
Doing well. We wanted to make you aware that, obviously you can call us here on the show, 1-800-229-3000, as always. But wanted to mention here at the front that we have a new format for our Life Recovery Today TV program, if you want to take advantage of that. We think you're going to really like this change. You can watch it Thursdays at 11 a.m. Eastern on NRB TV, or you can actually go to the web, liferecoverytoday.net. And actually, the first show features the aforementioned Dr. Alice Benton talking about depression and self-harm. And this month, for those that don't know, the month of May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And this idea of self-harm is such a big topic. I've been in student ministry now for 17 years. And in fact, I was just reading, because I knew we were going to talk about this today on the show, that I think steadily over the last 6 to 7 years, or even a 6 to 7 year block here as of late, the last decade or so, self-harm among preteen girls has gone up 18% every year. It is a real, real issue, and students and young ladies and young men are struggling with this issue of self-harm. And Alice, I'll just throw it to you. As you walk with people who are dealing with this just really troubling issue, how are you counseling them, and how can we as people see it, notice it, the signs of it? How would you coach us?
I would say first, for all parents, whether or not you're worried if your children are at risk for self-harm behavior, we need to make heart checks routine in our households, because there's almost always frustration, anxiety, upset stirring within our children. And if we have not yet taught them the skills of identifying and expressing that stirring, then they're going to find an outlet somewhere, and it's usually an unhealthy outlet. And self-harm is generally a way to cope with the pain on the inside when one doesn't have a more effective solution. And so I highly recommend Mylan and Kay's Comfort Circle from How We Love. It is such an efficient way of checking in on our children's thoughts and on their feelings, and then helping them, teaching them how to resolve that stirring on the inside in a healthy relational way, which protects against engaging in self-harm or other addictive or compulsive behavior. And we parents also have to move out of our comfort zone and ask difficult questions, even asking younger children what they know about it, if they've heard of it, if they've ever thought of it, if they've ever engaged in it. We might think that asking the questions gives them too much information, but our children are learning so much so quickly within the student body culture that we need to be the ones asking those questions and drawing out what they know, and then teaching them how to handle emotions in a more healthy way.
Yeah, that's so good. Becky, how would you, if there's a parent listening today that feels maybe overwhelmed by finding out that this may be taking place in the life of their child, what's one piece of encouragement that you would give to them as being an overwhelmed parent?
Well, there's hope and help available. And I think if you're a parent, you may have times of overwhelmness. It's just a part of it. But I think, you know, the big message is that if your child or teen is doing this, it's because they need to express some feelings. And they have found this to be helpful to them, which sounds really shocking, but people do this because it works. What we want to do is interrupt that cycle so that they can express their feelings, like what Alice is talking about, And as parents, if you just ask, give me three feeling words for your day today, and begin the process of just helping them have a vocabulary mm-hmm. to express how they feel inside, it can make all the difference in the world.
That's great. We'll be back after this break.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
What's up again? Thanks again for joining us today on New Life Live. I'm here with Dr. Alice Benton and Becky Brown. We're taking your calls today, 1-800-229-3000. And we're talking about Mental Health Awareness Month. It's happening this month of May. And again, we just feel, I feel, we've been talking about this even offline, is just this stigma that seems to be lingering in the church and within Christian circles of, you could talk about lots of things, but don't go in all the way into talking about issues of mental health and issues of whether it be emotional or psychological or even just spiritual things and all that kind of mixed together. We don't want to go too close to that, but I really feel like the church is positioned well to be a safe place. I would certainly hope that the church is a safe enough place for people to open up in that. And we want to be a safe place for you to reach out to us and get help for the things that you are going through. And so we're going to go ahead and jump to our first call here. Mary is joining us today from Louisville, Kentucky. And so, Mary, welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Yes, I'll try to make this as short as possible. I've just had a lot on me lately. I've been diagnosed with stage 4 kidney disease. Diabetes, high blood pressure, and everything. So I'm trying to get my health together. But I have my little girl, she's having problems. She's getting bullied. So she has started to, like, when she'll get this temper, and she will start to scratch up her face and just be, you know, violent towards herself. And because of me just trying to, you know, it just seems like there's things on top of things on top of things. And then I have this, and I don't really know how to cope or to help her with this. I've done sent her to like a therapy thing, like a schooling of sorts, and like an inside therapy thing. And it seemed like it helped her a little bit because they had like a school, kind of school there, and which she loved it, and she wanted to stay, but she couldn't. She had to start going back to regular school. And she today, when she went back yesterday, she got bullied again by the same boy, and now she just do not want to go. She actually made herself sick, worrying about, you know, having to have to go back. So I just don't know what to do.
Yeah. Well, Mary, thanks for calling today. I'm so sorry that your daughter is going through with that. And, you know, we opened our show today talking about this self-harm. And it sounds like even, as you just mentioned, the scratching of the face or having a triggering response to this consistent bullying. And so I'm going to throw it to the ladies here. Alice, we'll start with you. How? What is a next step for not just for this little girl, but also for Mary?
Mary, I want to applaud you that despite everything medically you're going through, you're still seeing your daughter's pain and you're acting to get her the assistance, which must be so difficult to deal with both your own and your daughter's as well. Would you tell us what the home environment is like? Is her father in the picture and in her life? Where is other support coming from in the family?
Well, she, because of her having older sister, she tries to get along, but she also wants to be like her sisters. And they, you know, with them, her being the little sister, it's like, no, you're too young, you're too young. The dad, he just don't know how to talk to her, you know, to kind of, because he feels the same way. He doesn't want her really to go back to school because he feels like it's hopeless. They're not going to help. You know, it's nothing that they can do. So he's not really, I guess, because I'm just not getting really any help. And I'm just praying and I'm trying to keep my faith. And it was like, I just feel like just everything is just building and I just don't know what to do.
And Mary, with some of that residential treatment, it sounds like your daughter received. Has your family ever gotten family therapy, even with for her and what she's going through?
No, we haven't did therapy yet. Family therapy, I should say.
Sometimes a child's symptoms speak about the inner family dynamics and struggle that you're speaking to, that her father doesn't know how to talk to her, and perhaps she doesn't feel very heard by her dad or by her sisters. And so sometimes a child's behavior, even that self-harm behavior, it's trying to get the attention, trying to get the ears and the eyes of the family members that are perhaps overlooking or just out of ignorance, don't know what to do in light of what you're seeing with her. And if she has a temper, that can certainly be off-putting, and someone can be so abrasive, it's tough to break through that hard outer shell to get to the softer heart underneath. So I want to recommend that you consider family therapy, because a therapist can help coach you and your husband about how to do, like we were talking about before, how to do the comfort circle, how to get to your daughter's heart and how she's feeling, not only about the bullying, but also the family environment and perhaps some of that disconnection from her father. If you were to ask him to attend family therapy, what do you think his response would be?
He would do it. Yeah, he would definitely do it.
That willingness, coupled with the guidance of a counselor, could lead to a great breakthrough with your daughter.
Yeah. Becky, it's it's easy for us as parents to, and I think this is a common struggle, to think about what is the best way for me to get my child the help that they need, taking steps, whether it be in this particular situation, some residential treatment, as Alice mentioned, and it was going well, but there had to be some schooling things. But oftentimes what is, I don't want to say neglected, but maybe just not feeling the urgency as much, is how are we processing it as parent figures of what's going on with our child, and actually finding an outlet to open up. How would you maybe kind of encourage and support Mary here to do that? And maybe just in general, what have you done with other families who may find themselves in a similar situation?
Yeah, so it's so tough when our kids are struggling. And the first thing I want to say, though, Mary, is has anyone addressed the bully? You said that when she went back to school, there he was waiting to attack again. And in this day and age, unlike when I was in school, when bullies you just dealt with it, it is not okay ever. And the school has a responsibility to take that matter into their hands. Like, this is not something that your daughter needs to deal with. And she is stressed to the point where she wants to hurt herself because she feels the threat. I agree with what you're saying too, Alice, as far as that family structure. But I think the number one thing we have to do is address the bully. What is going on there? Because she could be, I don't know, how old is she, Mary? What's her age?
11.
Okay. See, you know, it's a really tough time when you're 11. There's a lot of things that are changing. But if you've got somebody who's threatening you, and to an 11-year-old, a boy can be a big threat. Yeah. And he's not leaving her alone. So I think, Mary, I feel for you, because you are trying to reserve your energy for the work that you have to do on your physical health. I would encourage you to get in touch with the school and literally demand that they do something about this bullying issue, because that, along with the family therapy, if this doesn't get taken care of, she's going to go right back in there. The other thing is, the message to your daughter when you do this is she recognizes you are helping her, you are standing with her, that she doesn't go back into the situation by herself.
And the shutdown and COVID have really changed how we even interact with teachers and principals and the parents of classmates. And it takes a great deal of effort. And you might need your husband to make some of this effort on your behalf if you're not physically feeling up to it, Mary. But finding the routes in to even access teachers can be difficult to do these days. I know when we go to pick our children up, we do so outside the gate of the school. And so without a specific appointment to talk with a teacher, we don't even see the teacher on a regular basis. And so there are new barriers to overcome. When my children have had trouble with classmates at school, I try to get to know those children I become a presence there at pickup, and I ask my child to point out who they're having trouble with. And I go up in a friendly manner to start with, depending on how severe the problem has been with the child. But I make myself a known presence so that they can see my child is not alone. They've got their parents backing them, and that can make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are going through something with the school. It's a long, long story. But at least now, since there's a new principal, he is trying to work with us. But he's coming in, new, and I know he's trying. It's probably going to take some time. But it's been a long process with this.
Mary, have the teachers responded when you've brought it to their attention?
Well, it's more like they feel like. It's, I don't know, like they just not aware, they don't know, and then it's like, well, it's almost like, well, I don't know how to, like, nonchalant about the whole thing.
They're not taking it seriously, especially as serious as your daughter's symptoms are. Would you tell us an example or two of some of the worst that the bully has done to your daughter?
Because it started off with actually three. It was two girls, one boy. The two girls, they said, because when she went to Arlet of Peace, and she is back at that school. So they had left, and now it's the little boy. And they were, like, throwing pencils at her. And I remember her coming home one day, and she was like, she just started going off and screaming and yelling and said she wanted to, kill herself. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I knew right then and there I had to stop and then do something. So I went to the Board of Education or the building you have to go through to when you have complaints. And they said that they was going to do something, and I kid you not, it was almost like the story just changed. The story, I guess because I'm like, okay, what happened? It's just a very, very big, complicated, and I don't want y'all to get, lost in all that stuff that happened, but it was just like, nothing happened. Nothing. I just can't believe. Nothing happened. So it's like I'm just so frustrated with the whole thing.
And Mary, it is frustrating. I know having to do repeated attempts and making making justice occur is really your challenge right now. And like Alice said, you'll have to have your husband help you in this process. But you'll have to be that annoying parent until they do take care of it. And it's that shock that it didn't happen the first time. But then you call again. You show up at that school again. You just keep going at it. And also at the same time, you have a conversation with your daughter about how to deal with those kind of people. It's not her job. Obviously, we want school to be a safe place. And if people are throwing pencils at her, the teacher should be in charge of that. I know it's just all kinds of things going on. But I think the big thing is help her to know that she can walk away, that she can go to an adult, that she can ask for help. And the reason why I think she's probably having such a big release when she gets home is because it's safe. It's safe for her to express all of that built up frustration and that hurt.
Mary, are you and your family connected to a local church of any kind?
Oh, yes. We go to Shively Christian Church.
That's great. Well, my encouragement to you would be, and I find that during the earliest of teenage years, the building strong Christian friendships and community is such an important development piece for them. They need to have an outlet outside of their, family of origin, whether biological or otherwise, just to have a safe place to talk about. I mean, we can't surround our kiddos with enough caring leaders. We say at Northview, the church that I'm a part of, that we want every child and student to have five meaningful adult connections. And that includes maybe, both parent figures if they're in their lives or not. And but in addition to that, that they need to find some really solid friendships with people that can so she can say, this is happening at school and I'm scared, or this makes me feel helpless, or I feel alone. And you never know, some other kid or girl in the group or guy in the group might go, man, I've experienced that too. And it may not make the problem go away, but she feels heard. There's empathy for that. And so go and stay on the line, Mary. We'll take your calls, 1-800-229-3000.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free, 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for hanging out with us today on New Life Live. We've been chatting today with Mary on the line, talking about her daughter experiencing some bullying. I'm Zach Matchett, filling in for Steve Arterburn today. Dr. Alice Benton and Becky Brown are with me. And Alice, if you, I know you had mentioned you want to kind of have just a final piece there for Mary. What were you going to say?
Well, I think it's completely appropriate to become a squeaky wheel who makes daily contact with the school administration until there are results. And as I've worked as an individual therapist with an adolescent child, I've also become an advocate for the family I'm working with to get in touch with the school counselor so that I can escalate the concern of the school with the permission of the family as I make them aware of the severity of symptoms that the child is experiencing. And that should start some alarm bells going off within the school to the point that they will hopefully take action. But if I see an ongoing lack of response from a school and my child is experiencing suicidal ideation because of what's taking place there, of course I'd consider that probably what's going on at school is not the only thing that's distressing her, and I'd want to identify what else is adding to her distress. But I would consider moving to a different school if I couldn't get a response after making all of these various attempts that we're talking about, Mary.
Yeah, yeah. Becky, do you have a resource that we could send to Mary that might be helpful?
Well, I was thinking of How We Love Our Kids, just because even in the midst of all of this, there's still that relational challenge that we have many times with our kids, whether they're facing a crisis at that moment. But I think it can be very helpful as you're raising your kids, Mary.
Yeah, it's great. We have Larry Sonnenberg with us. Larry, what do you have for us?
Well, Zach, I got a couple things, and I want to start by talking about Every Man's Battle, because we're going to be doing that starting tomorrow right here in Orange County. And it's not too late to sign up, guys, or wives of guys. You can get on the phone and help make this happen. It's just an amazing workshop. It's scary for guys to think of because they think they're full of shame. They shouldn't have done what they did. They're sorry. They're only coming because they got caught. There's all kinds of things going through their minds. But, gentlemen, this is a workshop that is absolutely shame-free, and it is absolutely hopeful, and it's full of Christ without being preached at. Mm-hmm. So it's really valuable. And I want to read you this testimony. I hope I got the right one. Of course, I didn't. So, Terry, could you roll in that audio one? I'll read this other one in a little bit. I pulled the wrong one out.
My porn addiction started at an early childhood age when I was introduced to Playboy magazines. I would look at them every so often, getting those mental images in my mind. And then when I started my first fire department job is when I started seeing a lot more of those magazines, because it was readily available in the bathroom, stacks of them. The time it really hit in is when I got my first computer and my first smartphone, and one of the fellow firefighters I worked with introduced me to a website that was full of free porn that you could have your hands at, and at that point I was hooked. I never thought myself as an addict. I thought that it was normal for every guy to look at, and not until my wife caught me. She went through my computer and went through my phone and found all that stuff. Of course, I resisted. I lied about it and tried to put the blame on somebody else. And then I finally admitted it. Okay, yeah, I was looking at it. Tried to fix it on my own. Told her I could quit. Went through the motions. I actually quit for a little while. Then opened up the computer, opened up my smartphone, and got right back into it. At that point, she was still under pressure that I was clear of it until she found it again the second time. Denied again. And tried to fix it on my own again. Something in my life would stress me out, and I would go right back into it again. And third time was a strike with her. She said, you know what? We're going to fix this. I'm going to send you somewhere. So she found Every Man's Battle. And she called him up and got me a spot in there. It was a very nervous process. Until I showed up my first day at the conference and realized there was all kinds of people there struggling with the same addiction. And it wasn't until that point I realized, you know what, I do have an addiction. It was time to lay it all to God, give it all to God, and get free of this. Every Man's Battle gave me some tools to fight this addiction. It gave me a battle plan. It gave me accountability partners. And it showed me that I cannot do this and I cannot win this battle without God in first place and giving it all to Him. So after the conference, went back home, continued to stay in contact with my accountability partners. And at that point, we decided we need to go to a different church. We need to attend a church that's going to change our family. That's when a family member introduced us to the church they were attending. That's where I was saved. I got baptized there. This whole process, if I would never have been caught by my wife, I would not be where I am right now. I never prayed with my wife or my children. I was too embarrassed to, didn't know how to. But ever since I was saved, got plugged back into church, gave my life back to God, it's been uphill since. Yeah, there's been some struggles here and there. It was a long road of recovery. But at this point in my life, I am free from pornography, and I give it all to the glory of God for freeing me of that sin. My name is Philip Baker, and this is my story.
Boy, I tell you what, guys, that could be you. I know, gentlemen, that there are a lot just like you. You think you can handle it. You think it's not a big deal, and then it just draws you back in. So this is your chance. Give us a call at 800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433. Call today and talk about coming to Every Man's Battle.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible personal size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life pen and highlighter, and a New Life zippered tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for joining us. Zach Matchett filling in for Steve Arterburn today. We have Dr. Alice Benton and Becky Brown here, as well as Larry Sonnenberg. I wanted to mention, before we go back to Larry, that all of our listeners, if you're checking us out today, that New Life has recently launched a Christian coaching network. There are coaches available to you that can help you focus on helping you reach your goals and living a more fulfilled life. And that may be an action step for you, that you may find yourself in a place of uncertainty at a crossroads and just need some wisdom, some insight, and some coaching. And so if you want to take advantage of that, you can learn more about those coaches at newlife.com or by calling 800-NEW-LIFE. And again, if you find yourself in that place, a bit of a crossroads, and could benefit from some coaching, we would love to get you in touch with those folks. And so, Larry, you're going to talk about this matching initiative that you're doing right now, so I'll throw it to you.
Okay, well, thank you. And I'm going to ask Becky to jump in here in a minute. We have this matching fund. Because this is a recorded program, I don't have the latest numbers, in the neighborhood of $600,000 still yet to match. And we've got a little under 3 weeks to get it matched. And I mentioned in an earlier program this week that there are folks saying to me, what is the plan? if it all doesn't come in on by the May 31. And my response might be denial, or might be God's wisdom and touch of faith. I don't know. But I said, I don't want to take that, make that decision right now. We've got time to go. We've got people who will give. And we've got some more correspondence to send out and such. But this is it's a beautiful thing, because we don't touch this pool of funds until you make a gift against it. In other words, if you send us $50, we'll withdraw $50 from the matching fund as well. So New Life realizes $100. It is a true match. And so what I'm asking folks is, would you make a gift of whatever amount you think you can make? We would love to see gifts of all sizes. You know, it sounds selfish to say the bigger the better, but we're eager to get this matched. And Becky was with us when we met with a group of donors a few weeks ago about this, and I just wanted to let her say a few words about how important something like this might be to New Life.
Well, thanks, Larry. I was thinking we have Zach match it, and in honor of the matching gift, I think we should give to Zach Matchett.
I love that.
I'll not give to you, Zach, but I mean,
in honor of Zach. Yeah.
Yeah. The link just includes my Cash App or my GoFundMe or whatever. Yeah, no, right. just kidding. It's a vicious rumor.
I think that what our friends of the ministry want others to know is that there is hope and help. And so by giving to New Life and by setting this seed money up for this match, they are encouraging you, the listener, mm-hmm. and the friends of New Life, to participate in what they have realized themselves. Because these folks that have given to start this match, they've experienced New Life in a personal way. There's been some kind of life change, whether it's been because they went to a workshop, or they have read books, or they've been with a counselor. Whatever way, New Life has impacted their life, and they want to give thanks to God and to provide to the ministry, and want you to participate in that too. So in honor of Zach Matchett for matching gifts campaign, call us today and give, or go online to newlife.com and give today.
Yeah.
And of course, as we appreciate the bigger the better gifts, we also deeply are grateful for the small gifts too. And especially if you've never given before and you feel God's nudge on your heart as we're talking, we don't want to guilt you into anything, but the $5 and the $10, they help us immensely.
Well, and we should talk just a little bit about what giving does to you. Because when you give to an organization, it's not just that you're helping the organization. God's doing something to you on the inside and spiritually, that you're helping somebody, that you are, you know, sacrificing something, that you're part of something bigger than yourself, and it does something to you on the inside, and it's an inside-out process. So I want to really encourage you to consider the spiritual side of this as well as just helping a ministry because they are asking for money.
Yeah, there's something that something about what you just said there, Larry, that there's a discipleship piece, that there's a growth that can happen in us when we, to some degree, put God in charge of our finances and how we leverage that. And I love the idea that a gift of any size goes directly to helping somebody in need. I mean, we know that there are resources that are made available to people. Many of you that do donate have benefited from whatever the case may be, a workshop you've taken part in, a weekend away, or even just maybe giving a phone call to us here. And I just, again, want to encourage you to take part in that. It's something we do at Northview is we do something called the Dollar Club, and everybody gives a dollar. A dollar won't get much now these days, but if a lot of people give dollars, we've met incredible practical needs, people that have significant medical expenses, people that find themselves just in the midst of kind of some tragic situations. We had a family that lost their house in a fire, and of course, when you go and say, hey, just give a buck, a lot of people can jump in and do that, of course, but you'd be amazed at all the difference that made just by giving everybody kind of doing their part. And so in the same analogy, what it can be your contribution to helping somebody else find freedom, helping somebody else find their next steps in recovery. And so, yeah, it's a huge deal.
I wanted to just tell a story real quick of when we were having this gathering of donors. This is very unusual, and I hope it encourages you, because it encouraged us. a gentleman was invited to come our last night there to our gathering. He didn't know anything about us. He ran across one of our attendees a couple of times in the hotel. And the attendee asked me, said, could I invite him to come Saturday night? And I said, sure. So he came in and sat through our session. And at the end of the session, this was a man of wealth. And we weren't really aware of that. There was suspicion. But he said, my company's going to give you guys $100,000.
Wow.
And that was just, it just blew us away. So we're hoping and praying that this is a real thing. We think it is. And he said it should be coming, if not by the end of this month, by the end of next month. And that's the way God works. And that's part of the reason I'm not going to give up on saying we've got to figure out what we're going to do when the money doesn't come in by the end of the month. Because God does amazing things in amazing ways, least expected. And he's good. So.
And we've been overwhelmed over and over through the years by the generosity of you, our listeners. You have sustained us. You've helped us to grow. And it's because of you that we're able to serve so many people. Thank you.
With a lot of gratitude, not just our gratitude, the gratitude of the people who are getting the help, who come to us. They're struggling. They're looking for help and direction. They're calling this radio program, seeing a counselor, going to workshop, whatever it is. And they get help. And that's when I say thank you, I'm thanking you on behalf of all those people. So thank you in advance.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Larry. And just kind of a parting word here, too. You just have no idea the difference that can be made when you just give God what you have and just open yourself up to being used by him. And so, again, want more information, go to newlife.com and get in touch. You can also text the word MATCH, M-A-T-C-H, not to be confused with my last name of Match.
Uh-huh.
You will have something bounce back to you, and I will not be receiving any of those funds, promise. And but you can do text the word MATCH to 28950. Again, the word MATCH, M-A-T-C-H, to 28950. Zero. And so we have a call here I want to get to as we kind of move forward with our program. And so we have Kendall listening to us today from Chicago, Illinois. And so welcome, Kendall, to the program. How can we help you today?
Hi. I was calling because I have a situation coming up in about 3 weeks, and I really don't know what to do, and I'm hoping you guys can help me sort it out.
Of course, sure.
My best friend and I were pregnant together. Our daughters were born 3 weeks apart. And in 3 weeks, my daughter, they both turn 4, but mine turns first. And I'm planning the birthday party. And our girls have grown up together. They've been together literally since babies. And my soon-to-be 4-year-old told me, I don't want to invite, let's just call her Annie, to my party because she's bossy. And
uh-oh.
I don't know whether I should try to tell her for the sake of my best friend's friendship in mind, no, you have to have Annie to the party, and then risk her having a 4-year-old meltdown that will cause bigger issues in my friendship. I don't know if I tell her, no, you can't, whether she's going to have problems down the road. I don't know what to do, and I want to preserve my friendship and also do the right thing as a parent in this situation. Can you guys help me?
Sure, we sure can. We're going to go to a break here in a second, but I empathize. I just got this visual picture of a birthday party. All the preparation has happened. All the decorations are up. I have a 6-year-old, 4-year-old twins, and a 1-year-old, and just imagining just that, I can hear the sound of a 4-year-old melting down right now, and that there is that part of you that's just like, oh, I just want to crawl into a hole and just emerge later after the meltdown is over.
Uh-huh.
Punt the parenting to somebody else. And so I totally resonate with that. We'd love to chat with you, Kendall, when we get back from the break here. Again, check us out on newlife.com. You can also listen to us online, the podcast. We just want to get you the help that we need here on the show, 1-800-229-3000. But Kendall, stay on the line. We'd love to chat with you.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for joining us today. Zach Matcha here with Dr. Alice Benton and Becky Brown. We've got Kendall on the line, and Kendall painted a situation for us that's a little tricky. We've got a friend long-term friendship. They each have little girls that are going to be – they are turning 4 years old. And the idea of a birthday party, and it sounds like, Kendall, just for clarity, it's the party's for your daughter, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. And so
– Yeah, and she told me I don't want to be bossed around on my birthday.
Is it okay if none of us want to be bossed around on our birthday? Like, is that allowed? Like, can I say that in the microphone? No, in all seriousness, I was just saying during the break, this I think is a good teaching moment for your daughter because, you know, kids in general, that we've got to be able to put some good foundational things in place. And there's going to be times where they're going to interact with kids of your adult friends. It's just going to happen. It's inevitable, especially if you're doing life together. If there's a close friendship, it's just a natural progression of things that those kids will rub elbows and hang out. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be best buddies or whatever. And I think just helping, well, the one thing that I would say just to encourage you maybe to chat with her about is, hey, I know that she, you know, this Annie, as you've called her anonymously, like that she may have done this in the past and made you feel uncomfortable or, you know, you don't want to feel bossed around. But encouraging her, like, hey, we don't want to, you know, end a friendship or even prevent one from even happening. And you find age-appropriate ways to say this, of course, but to say, hey, we're gonna be people who forgive and we give second chances. And if you feel like you're uncomfortable or if she's doing so, to come and tell me, come and tell mommy or come and tell daddy, whoever the case may be. I think helping kids in their earliest years articulate discomfort or articulate when things maybe there's conflict, you know, they're not even necessarily aware of it that way. But I think that's a really good teaching moment for her to understand while also preserving the adult friendship. And obviously I was saying that, you know, little kids are allergic to social cues at this age anyway. So I'm sure you want to avoid the, like, I don't want to hang out with her, you know, that moment, of course. But I do think that there's probably a good teaching conversation there to help her understand, hey, we can voice things that we disapprove of, but we also don't want to sever a friendship because you have the perspective that she doesn't have, which is this is a very close friendship between this gal and you. So that would be what I would say. I don't know, ladies, Alice or Becky, if you have anything you want to add.
Kendall, we do some role-playing in our family because my parents have therapists for parents, or my children have therapists for parents, where we set up the situation and then we help our children use the right words of, Annie, I don't like that you're bossing me around. I want you to stop. And if you won't stop, then I'm not willing to play with you anymore. And so we strengthen our children's ability to be assertive. And it can start at 4 years old. If your girlfriend is open to it, you might even involve her in the conversation and help the girls to talk about it together, since we have to deal with people's character defects our entire life. And having the skill to be able to do so with grace and truth, that will just benefit your daughter and even Annie. It'll benefit them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah,
I haven't even mentioned it to my friend. It's the first time my daughter's ever brought it up, and they've spent tons and tons of time together. So this is just a new thing like 2 days ago. And I don't know whether I should talk to my friend how to approach it. I don't, you know, mama bears come out, and I don't want it. I don't want to do it wrong, and I don't want to injure our friendship.
Do you get the sense that it might just be a random one-off occurrence, or do you think it's been going on and this is the first time your daughter's articulated it?
I think it's the first time she's articulated it. My friend's kid has a very strong personality.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
My approach would be a little bit different. You know, when they get older, they begin to develop their own friendships. And I don't know if Alistair Zach said this already, but you know, Kendall, as you and your best friend have stayed connected, your daughters may not. And what I would suggest is maybe instead have a time that you celebrate separately from the party, because you and your best friend are the connectors. Your girls have some time where hopefully the bossiness will subside and they can create some connection that then eventually someday, maybe in the future, they will, you know, Annie will feel comfortable to have her at the party. But I think that's, you know, it's really important to be aware that while you guys have been all four connected, there's going to be changes because people are different. And, but at the same time, you can manifest or, you know, kind of, you know, promote some connection alongside of your relationship with your best friend.
Yeah.
As far as bringing it up with your girlfriend, I might just casually say, you know, there's a frustration that my daughter expressed, and I know there are frustrating things about her for Annie as well, but do you mind if we just chat about something? Your daughter has a great strength of personality, but, you know, sometimes it can rub people wrong. It rubs my daughter wrong sometimes. Is this something we could chat about together? And I'm open to hear what rubs your daughter wrong about mine. Let's talk about it. Let's teach our girls how to talk about it together.
Yeah. Kendall, does the thought of that give you hives, or would you be open to, like, have a conversation like that with your friend?
No, I would be totally open to that. Yeah. I'm sure my daughter will be invited to Annie's party, so I guess my fear in trying to do something just one-on-one with them is that my daughter would somehow let it slip that she had this big party, and that would not go well.
My granddaughter just turned 7, and this exact same thing happened, where one of her buds, it's my daughter's friend, and her daughter, they all used to hang together, and there's just been a parting of the ways. Now, they do fine together without the rest of the people, but it was just one of those things. I came to the party, I was like, where's so-and-so? And it's like, well, we just do things a little bit different so that they can have their connection in a different way. It's tricky all the way around, Kendall. And, I think that you can have more conversations. You know, at 4, they're still learning a lot about, I mean, there's just so much more ahead of her that you can tolerate a friend who's bossy for about 2 hours at a party. And if there's enough girls, there's going to be a distraction.
Yeah, that has an expiration date. Yeah, I was thinking about the book. I don't know if Alice or Becky or Kendall, if you've read this, heard of the book Crucial Conversations. It's a great resource. And one of the theses of the book is when you have a crucial conversation with somebody. So I'm imagining, you know, Kendall, you and your friend having this conversation about your daughters. And one of the things that they share is that a crucial conversation is one in where the stakes are high. I mean, it's hard because when you start to have, you have somebody in your similar season of life, you each have daughters that are around the same age. There's a long previous relationship. There is a tendency, and I don't think this is bad. There's a tendency for us to, like, maybe overroot for that, like, friendship to happen, mm-hmm. you know, because the disappointment is all the much greater. Because, like, well, we're best buddies. We want our daughters to have that similar kind of bond, or our children to have that similar kind of bond. And if that doesn't happen, which is more than logically practical, it's just possible that it could happen. But then sometimes that makes the disappointment all the much greater. And I do think that if you're open to having that conversation, the idea of the crucial conversation would just be, is just to be clear. I think in these situations, generically speaking, clarity is a friend, ambiguity is an enemy. And so talking about it graciously, but clearly about this, and I think the way, Alice, you set it up of just, hey, I've noticed some things, my daughter shared some things, I'm sure there's some things about my daughter that rub Annie the wrong way, and kind of setting it up as like there may be an equal opportunity offender, and not like 100% of the pie is your daughter's fault, you know, and setting it up in that way. And I know that sounds like a bit of an extreme example, but it's tricky. It's really tricky as our kids grow up and develop personalities of their own and figuring out how to navigate that.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, of course. Thanks again for calling in today. And we are going to hope that there is no meltdown at the birthday party, that it will be a good time of celebration. Kendall, again, thanks for calling in.
Send in the clowns.
That's right. Yes. Hopefully not the creepy ones, though. That would probably ruin the birthday party, too. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Alice and Becky, appreciate you guys so much. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Yep. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.